it's time to rejoin M Live's Angela Whitrock. She joins us every Monday to talk about business and development in the economy. Nice to have you back. Nice session with Joel Ferguson.
Agreed. So, yeah, that was wonderful. Thanks for having me for that, too.
I think he liked your questions more than he liked mine, but that's okay. I won't take it personally. We did stir up the East Lansing downtown development with him, and he opined that it just needs to be made an awful lot bigger. I think he referred to it as a postage stamp type approach,
right.
And it's under 3 acres that,
yes.
that is owned by the East Lansing Downtown Development Authority. You're continuing to watch that story. What do you see happening?
Well, right now, I mean, there are 7 proposals that the city received, really 8, because one of the proposals was a two-parter, 2 different options. But, you know, the undercurrent there that you see is that it's hard to do what the city wants, which is a transformational development there at the edge of the campus, without taking care of what we call the old bank building, the old Citizens Bank building, that little strip mall, also on Grand River, and then the Evergreen properties. Now, all of those are still owned by the Strathmore Development Company affiliated holding companies. One is in foreclosure. They're, you know, consistent tax delinquencies on them, delinquencies or late payment. So you would hope, I guess, if you're one of those developers who is looking to score this deal with the city, that Strathmore would be interested in selling. And so far, at least from the proposals, it appears he is. What that means, what the price will be, that's anybody's guess.
I was struck by how many plans included a farmer's market.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the plans was kind of remarkable in that it called for a 35 to 40 vendor permanent city market that, when it wasn't being used, could be used for entertainment venues. That's pretty interesting because it would extend sort of that Valley Court Plaza, that Valley Court Park, into the new development, which is, you know, right now it's sort of bounded off. But I think, you know, farmers markets are, they're not just trendy anymore. They're a real big part of a lot of communities, and having a dedicated space where you can go and pick up your local produce is sort of an important thing.
Now, DTN filed, DTN Management of Lansing Township, I think, filed a proposal as well. Are you tracking that? What's their role in this?
Yeah, they're, you know, it's kind of unusual. You don't usually think of DTN as a developer so much as a management firm for other apartments.
Rentals, yeah.
Right, and what they're looking at is they say they're in talks with Scott Chappelle from Strathmore Development to buy those properties. They have a plan that would include, like many of the plans, a farmer's market, a large hotel, retail, and, you know, really interesting possibilities, which, again, because it's DTN, I never would have expected to see something like that coming from them, but it looks like a viable proposal if they're selected.
East Lansing landlords now have to pass out voter registration to their tenants, along with the keys, I guess, and proponents of this say it eliminates confusion over where to vote, which is probably not too uncommon in East Lansing with so many students constantly moving in, that it helps to promote permanence. And Nathan Triplett seems to believe, a member of the Lansing or the East Lansing City Council, seems to believe it promotes longer-term involvement if people become accustomed to voting. What do you make of this?
Well, I think it's you know, we talked to Sam Singh, who's the new state rep for East Lansing, on Friday in a live chat, and we asked him, you know, how important is this? Is getting the youth vote activated an issue? And he said yes. And until there's something like no reason absentee voting, which would have to come from the Secretary of State, policies like this on a smaller scale can really help bridge that gap. So, I mean, when I was a student, it was obviously confusing, and we all moved around a lot. But there is still some question from the landlords over, you know, what happens. At first, there was supposed to be a kind of a hefty penalty if they weren't passing these papers out. Now it's just a civil infraction, but still it's, you know, I think there's an element of the community that worries that the city council will be mandating sort of, I don't know.
Who knows what?
Who knows what? Yes, that's the question. What's next?
Yeah. And Vic Loomis, I guess, was the only person to vote against that. But he said that according to the city charter, there's really no requirement that people vote. So it's he kind of suggested there's a little too much government going on here.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the role of government is something we continue to see debated at every level, and locally is no exception.
The state Supreme Court ruled on Friday that marijuana dispensaries are illegal, and that nothing in the Michigan medical marijuana law that was approved over 4 years ago now permits them. State registered patients either have to grow their own or they have to get a caregiver who is also licensed to grow it for them. Any thoughts on where this is going? This clarifies the landscape an awful lot, but in ways that some people don't like, I'm sure.
It doesn't, you know, there was a lot of controversy in Lansing specifically because there were many, many dispensaries that cropped up immediately. Ingham County has a lot of medical marijuana patients, so there's going to be a lot of, it's going to be difficult, I think, if you're a patient to figure out how do you negotiate that now? How do you get your medicine that you're allowed by law without violating the law that says you can't get it in certain ways? That, I think, will continue to play out. Also, something we're following is how is that going to be enforced? I mean, will the sheriff and the prosecutor be prosecuting people for operating a de facto dispensary? Are cities supposed to now force dispensaries to close? I mean, really, the big question is what happens next? Mm-hmm.
That always seems to be the question with regard to medical marijuana. How big a business is this? I mean, how dispensaries were really grew noticeably on the commercial landscape right there for several years.
Right. And in Lansing specifically, I mean, you know, one thing that proponents constantly hammered away at was the fact that they were filling in a lot of vacant spaces. Now, it might not be a business that you wanted there, depending on your political leanings, but you know, no one could doubt that at least it wasn't an empty storefront any longer. Now we're starting to see some of those turn over again, but still, it was a pretty large segment of the retail industry in Lansing, and when they were all sort of forced to close or were closing because they were unsure about what would happen to them, you started to see again the turnover. So what happens again next with these sites, with the folks who were making their living this way, is another big question. I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah. We review business, the economy, and development every Monday morning with M Live's Angela Whitrock. Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, Mark.